our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
It is my desire to speak to all of you. I know some people in this audience, a few of you fairly well. I'm very grateful for my friends who have come again to sit here and listen to the things that they already know. I appreciate that. But most of you I don't know, and I certainly don't know most of your troubles. But I would guess that there are in this audience people who are suffering, people who are at this moment are very peaceful or contented, many who are very anxious, some who are longing for God, and some perhaps who are indifferent to God, maybe some who are angry with God. I'm here to proclaim the good news. God loves you. If you've listened to my radio program, you've heard me say, you are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And that's not Elizabeth Elliott talking. That is straight out of the Bible, isn't it? God loves you, which means that He wants nothing less than the very best for you. You who have children, you know perfectly well that you couldn't possibly want anything less than the best for your children. Now, how are we to shape a Christian family? The beginning is two great realities. First of all, Christian means Christ-centered. And family means a community established by God. These two great realities are essential to the shaping of a Christian family. The recognition that Christian means Christ-centered. And in our home in Philadelphia, when I was growing up, there was a little brass plate over the doorbell by the front door that said, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. And when we children grew old enough to read that and think about it, it was rather solemnizing, shall I say, to ponder the fact that there was a silent listener to every conversation. And of course, everybody who came and rang that doorbell had a clue as to what sort of people lived inside. Family is a community established by God. So remember that when you have a family over whom God has given you authority, this is a community which God, in His wisdom, established from the very beginning. And you are participators, cooperators in this holy work of shaping that Christian community for His glory. Let's focus, first of all, on that awesome reality that we call God, God Himself. And He is here with us tonight, isn't He? He is in this place. I don't think most of us have very much trouble when we come to a very beautiful, very quiet place, quite removed from the mess in which our lives may seem to revolve. We don't have nearly so much difficulty in imagining that God is in a place like this as we might have in imagining that God is in our garage or in the laundry room, if we happen to be in the garage or the laundry room. He is here with us. Think of His immanence, immanence, which means His indwelling presence, His remaining in, His being in this world, in us, here with us, in the midst. And He is most emphatically with us and in us if we love Him. He is in us and we in Him. And you remember that Jesus in John 17 prayed, I in them and thou in me. Christ in us who are believers and thou, Lord, in me. Christ is praying and He prays for us from this standpoint. And you know that the name Emmanuel is the Hebrew meaning literally God with us. God with us. And it might be a good idea just to print that one name in big letters and stick that on your refrigerator door instead of a whole lot of the other junk that you get up there. God with us. It might change your whole perspective of the way things may look. And it is this holy, awesome, and sometimes very frightening, tremendous God who is the creator of you and me, of every planet and star, of what I read not long ago are perhaps 10 billion galaxies and 200 billion universes. Now, for most of my life, I thought there was only one universe. I thought the universe encompassed everything that God had made. But astronomers are guessing that there may be as many as 200 billion universes, and it is this God who created all of those who is with us. And not very long ago, I heard a most wonderful talk by a Scottish preacher telling about a star that I didn't know anything about at that time, and I've been fascinated to try to find that star ever since. It's named Antares, or Antares, and it belongs to the constellation Scorpio, and he gave a picture of how big that star is by telling us to imagine a rubber ball, a hollow rubber ball, which represents Antares. Now, you slice that rubber ball in half, and inside this ball, you could put the sun, the earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Venus, and all of those planets, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Venus, could continue their orbits around the sun inside this rubber ball and not touch the ball. That is the size of Antares. Did you get all that? And of course, the sun is 1.25 million times the size of the Earth or something like that. I'm not an astronomer. I have one or two teeny tiny little facts that my mind grapples with. But just the idea of that simple statement in the book of Genesis that says, and he made the stars also. You know, as if just as an afterthought, and he made the stars. One of which is Antares, and this same preacher tells us that there is another star that's 2,700 times the size of Antares. And Antares doesn't look very impressive when you see it with the naked eye. It looks like rather a small, kind of reddish star. So he who is incomparably beyond us and transcendent is immanent with us. With us in the messy little confines of our lives. In the living room, in the kitchen, in the laundry room, in the garage, in the playroom, in the bedroom. God with us. So I trust that in these few days together, we will have a deepened awareness of God, of who he is and what he wants to say to us, and how we can live our lives moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, with him, in him, trusting him. When you wake in the middle of the night, what is your first thought? Do you immediately lift up your heart to God? I love it in the church that I go to where the minister says, lift up your hearts. And everybody responds, we lift them up to the Lord. And I'm trying to learn in my old age to do that much more constantly, to lift up my heart. A deepened awareness of God so immeasurably beyond us as to keep us in an attitude of humblest awe and reverence, yet so deeply and so closely with us as to inspire us in us just a heartfelt love and surrender and trust. Now, you and I will only teach our children to love God as they see that we love God. Every parent knows that you can yell your head off, you can put up the rules on the refrigerator, you can read the Bible, you can tell the kids how to make their beds, how to pick up the toys, how not to fight with each other. You can give them all the rules and you can talk your arm off. But it's who you are, what you are, and the way in which you love God, which is going to have by far the most profound influence. I have a friend who grew up in what she thought was a very strong Christian home because her father was very strict and read the Bible every day and prayed with the kids every day at the dinner table. And back in those days, he was teaching his family that it's a sin to smoke. And when that girl was a teenager, she discovered that for all those years, her father had been smoking in the basement. And as far as she was concerned, that just pulled the whole rug out from under everything he had said, because he himself said it was a sin, and he was doing what he said was a sin. Now, our children are very astute. They don't miss much. What do they see? Do they see parents who truly love God? I did. That's what I saw in my parents. They were 7-day-a-week kind of Christians. They prayed before we even got up in the morning. They prayed with us before we started to eat breakfast. They prayed with us after breakfast. They kept us at the supper table after dinner in the evening, and they prayed with us again as a family, and they prayed with us when we went to bed at night. And we knew that our father told us that he prayed for each of his children at least 4 times a day, besides the times that he prayed with us. But everything that I have said underlies everything else that I'm going to say here. These are principles which would underlie every talk that I would want to give.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.